Good morning and welcome back to Nachyami. Today we're going to be focusing on Yirmiyahu Perek Chof Beis, the 22nd chapter of Yirmiyahu. This perek is critical in understanding the chronology of Yirmiyahu as a whole. This is a very critical perek to getting a sense of the game plan over here. So let's just appreciate the context. This perek actually deals with two very different times in Yirmiyahu's life, two different messages to different people. The first half of the perek, really going all the way through the Perek Tul, Pasuk Yud Tes, is dealing with a Nevuah at the beginning of the reign of Yehoyakim. So let's just put ourselves into context over here. Yirmiyahu was born in the times of Yoshua HaMelech. Yoshua HaMelech is a wonderful king. He is a righteous king. He turns around all of Israel doing Teshuvah. He is lauded by Nevi'im as being the king who brought about a spiritual revolution which had never been seen before in all of Israel's history. Yoshia was a wonderful king. He was killed by Paro Nechoi. Pharaoh Nechoi was the Egyptian king at the time who was trying to move his troops through Israel in an alliance with Assyria to fight against the new rising power of Babylonia. When killing Yoshia, what happens is that the person who rises to the throne is Jehoiachaz, the son of Yoshia HaMelech, who proves to be not so loyal to the Egyptian cause. But being as Egypt has the upper hand at this point in time, that a dominant power, Egypt doesn't like that so much, and so they depose of Jehoiachaz, or his other name is Shalum, and he's taken to Egypt in exile, and he's replaced by his brother Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim, or his actual real name was Eliakim, but the Egyptians name him as Jehoiakim, who is supposed to take the throne, is going to be a yes man. He's going to be the person who's going to pay the large Egyptian taxes to be a vassal state of the Egyptian dominant power in the region. And that's really what he does. You know, he doesn't seem to pervert his ways in terms of Avodah Zarah, but in order to deal with the taxation of the time, Jehoiakim basically farms out the taxation to contractors, to lords, to nobles in the country, who obviously extort the taxes necessary, the exorbitant amount of money to be given to Egypt from the lower working class who have no representation. And that is how they pay the Egyptian taxes. So on the upper levels of society, there's great success. The palace is being rebuilt. Yoyakim's palace is fantastic and beautiful and cedar-lined, as we're going to see in a moment. But ultimately, there is a lot of depression. There's a lot of misuse of power, which is going on. So it's at the beginning of Yoyakim's arrival on the throne that Yirmiyahu comes to the palace and gives the first prophecy. Very, very strong prophecy. So he's told by Hashem to go to the base Melech Yehuda. So this is his first debut in the ears of Yoyakim. And you can see it's going to start off the relationship on a particular foot. So here's what he says. Atov avadecha v'amecho ha'ba'im b'sha'arim ha'ele. He says, you and your people come in these gates. Let me tell you something. Asu mishpat utztaka, v'atzilu gozul miyad ha'shok, v'ger v'yosam amonah al tonu. So if you're prepared to act justly, save those who are stolen from, to support those who are perhaps more vulnerable in society. Don't allow any blood to be spilt innocently. Yeah, if you do all of this, then you know what you're going to have many kings from you. You're going to live well and have longevity and a great legacy. Problem is. Is that v'im lo tishmu, and if you don't listen to these things, binishbati nom Hashem l'kilochor v'yabai, says, I'm going to destroy your house. Seems to be referring to the palace of Jehoiakim. Very strong starter. So there seems to be a little bit of hope. He's trying to give him the message of hope, but the flip side of the hope is desolation. So it's a very strong message. This obviously sets the relationship into a particular tone. You know, if you were the king at this point in time, this is a pretty stark message to be getting, certainly seeing as your palace is built on the sweat, blood, and bones of those people who are oppressed to make it at a time where you're paying large taxes to Egypt. And so Yirmiyahu goes on to say, and he says, look, I'm going to explain something to you. He says, Gilad Atoli, Rosh Levonon, Im lo ashchischa midbar orim lo nashavus. Look, you're going to be kidashti alecha mashchisim v'iskeikelav. You're going to be unwittingly a kiddush Hashem. So that means to say that whether you like it or not, you are going to be a kiddush Hashem, either through destruction or through the way you act in the representation of Hashem. So that's how it's going to work. And when you are destroyed, if you're not listening to Hashem, people will say, "How did this happen to you?" And the response will be, "Al asher azu es bris Hashem lokehem," because these people left the covenant of their God, and they served other gods. This is an important question in our lives. We should ask ourselves many times, and that is like, you know, sometimes we have a message of Hashem to represent in this world. Are we going to do that wittingly or unwittingly? Are we going to actively take the role of being that Kiddush Hashem in the world? Or are we going to be the vehicle in Hashem's hands to be a Kiddush Hashem through perhaps more of a negative experience? We need to really actively seek out opportunities to create Kiddush Hashem in a positive way so that we're not going to be the vehicle the other way. And that's what Yirmiyahu seems to be telling Yehoyakim. It's a very stern warning. And then he says to all of Israel, he turns outwards and he says to Israel, Al tivku lemeis val tanuduloi. Don't cry about though he who is dead. Don't be moved by him. Though he who went is no longer going to return. What's he referring to? So he's saying, he explains himself in the next pasuk. Ki chomar Hashem el shalom ben Yoshia melech Yehuda hamolech tachas Yoshia aviv asher yotzo min hamakom hazeh lo yashuv shom oid. He says that Shalom is no longer returning, meaning Yoyakim's brother, who was on the throne and was deposed of by the Egyptians, don't think he's coming back. Don't think there's any chance of him coming back and succeeding and taking the things. Rather, he's going to die in captivity. He's not coming back. The implications of the words of Yirmiyahu is that he perhaps, Shalom, perhaps had the rights to the throne, but the person who took the throne after him, meaning Yehoyakim, is not necessarily the right person for the throne. That's sort of the subtle criticism which you're hearing in Yirmiyahu's voice over here. And then he goes on further. And he says, now he turns directly to Yehoyakim and very harshly says the following. He says, look, you're building this beautiful palace, but it's all its flaws are built without justice. You're building this palace on other people's backs, and you're not even paying them. I'm going to make all these fancy materials to make my palace. You're going to rule because you got fancy cedar, because you got competing levels of cedar, that's what you may think is going to work. He says that's not how it works. He says all you think about is what's good for you, despite the fact of the suffering that was necessary to get there. And therefore, Yirmiyahu says, listen, can you imagine saying this in front of the king of the land, who's doing quite well and has a circle of nobles and governors who are pretty happy with his way, and he's the yes man of Egypt? And he says, Lachen komar Hashem el Yehoyakim bin Yoshia melech Yehuda, lo yispudu loy hoy achi v'hoy achos, lo yispudu loy. He says, nobody's gonna give you a eulogy, Yehoyakim. Kuvras chamor yikover. You're going to be buried like a donkey. You're going to be thrown on the roadside. That's what he says. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that Yirmiyahu having to deliver this message? I mean, this is shocking. This is before the prophecies of doom are opening up. Up till now, it's been positive prophecies of spiritual reform in the times of Yoshiel. This is the first time he's starting to talk, and he's talking against the king. You can imagine the persecution Yirmiyahu is facing, and now we can understand a little bit of the persecution that Yirmiyahu faces. Very, very sharp. It is interesting that archaeologists have found, in fact, they have found stones, you know, beautiful carved stones which are large, which indicate the luxury and exuberance, which are found in the area outside Yerushalayim, indicating that there was a palace or fancy houses being built outside Yerushalayim, even cedar panels which are being found. And some archaeologists attribute these to the palaces of Yehoyakim and his son Yehoyachin being built at the time where there seems to be security, and while in the meantime there's so much suffering of the people as they're making this alliance with Egypt, which will obviously not last. Very shocking, very sad point. And now the perek from Apostle Chof onwards till the end of the perek actually shifts much later. Shifts many years later till when Yehoyakim has gone, his son Yechoniah is placed on the throne. Yehoyakim's policy of working with Egypt was not successful, and therefore he was deposed of, and by Bavel, who is now crushing Egypt and Syria, And his son now is Yechoniah is placed on the throne, but Yechoniah himself is seen to be too much of a threat by the Babylonians, and so Nebuchadnezzar comes in and takes Yechoniah and takes his wife and five sons and takes them to Bavel, and along with them thousands of the best of Yerushalayim. This is the first level of Golus. It's called Golus Yechoniah. Among these people, just to be aware of this, are people like Yechezkel ben Buzi, the prophet Yechezkel, who's going to prophesy from Bavel from now onwards during the reign of Tzidkiyahu HaMelech, because this is not the end of the Beis HaMikdash yet. And another person included in this, of course, is Mordechai. When we read in Megillas Esther, Asher Hoglom Yerushalayim im Agola Asher Heglosa im Yechoniah Melech Yehuda, Asher Hoglom Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel, it's referring to this moment in history. Mordechai was one of these people who was exiled, obviously placing him at a very old, elder age at this point in time. And now Yirmiyahu talks to him as he watches. He's obviously watching from the ramparts of Masad Yerushalayim as he watches Yechoniah being taken into exile. And he says, Ali halavonanu tzaki babashan tini kolechi. Go to the Lebanon and cry out, that Yerushalayim is saying that my beloved ones are being taken into exile. And he says, but that's, I'm not going to listen to you because this is I told you this is going to happen. I told you, Yechoniah, this is going to happen. I'm sorry. There's nothing to say. In fact, he goes on to mock him. He says, Ki im Yechoniah konayahu ben Yoyakim elich Yehuda chosam me'ara yuminoi, ki im Yisham es kenakar. You know what? You really think you're the signet ring? You're going to that? And Saticha biyad mevakshin nafshecha. I'm gonna hand you over. You're not special. You think you're the son of the king? V'yarato yagor b'nehem. I'm going to give you over to the Chaldeans and the Babylonians. And he goes on even further. He says, "Ha'etzev nivzen afut sa'ish azek noyau im kli en chafetz ba." So like he says, you're a broken vessel. Knoyau. You know, sometimes in Tanakh you see that the word, the yud at the beginning can be dropped. So like Chizkiyahu is sometimes Yechizkiyahu. So Knoyau is obviously Yechoniahu, Yechoniah. So he's calling him in a diminutive way over here to sort of deride him. As he walks out, he says, God doesn't want you. Your people are thrown out, your children are thrown out, he says. And finally he ends with the shocking words, and he says, the last pasuk in this parak, Kissu es ha'ish hazeh ariri gever lo yitzlach b'yomav. Write him down as a childless man who will not succeed in his days. Ki lo yitzlach mizaro ha'ish yoshev al kisei David u'moshel oid b'Yehuda. None of his children will ever sit on the throne of Yehuda. Wow, what a shocking prophecy. Problem is that actually, technically speaking, that is not correct. Because the grandson of Yechoniah, who went into Bavel and stayed in prison, ultimately is a person by the name of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel is going to be the first governor who is going to be sent back from the seed of David HaMelech, the grandson of Yechoniah, who's going to be sent back with Yeshua Kohen Gadol as the Persian vassal state of Judea in a number of years' time, and he will be the governor as the seed of David. Not a king, but the governor. Which is fascinating. So how does this work? The Radak says, you see over here that Yechoniah did do teshuva in the Beis HaAsurim, in prison in Bavel. And you see over here, according to Chazal, Gedloida teshuva shemakaraz gzar dino shel Adam. Unbelievable. Here you see how the power of teshuva, that even though Yechoniah was wiped out of the slate, nonetheless, his grandson came back, Zerubbabel. That's unbelievable what can change over here. One last thing just to think about when looking at this parak is you see something very clear from this parak. And that is that this Sefer Yirmiyahu is not written in chronological order. Here we have two prophecies in one parak, one about the first king Shalom before Yehoiakim, and clearly right afterwards is a prophecy about Yechoniah, the king afterwards. So clearly we're talking about different points, and it's probably, you see over here, that it's put together thematically. That we're talking about, this is Yirmiyahu's, so to speak, bookending Yehoiakim's rule. And it's put together thematically to talk about two minor kings, who are Shalom and Yechoniah, who only ruled for 3 months each on either side of Yehoiakim. And it's put together for that reason. It makes it hard, as we're learning, to appreciate the Yirmiyahu's prophecies when they are moving backwards and forwards from Yoshiyahu to Shalom, to Yehoiakim, to Yechoniah, to finally Tzidkiyahu HaMelech, but at least we get a sense over here of the theme of the way it is ordered, rather than necessarily in the chronology. And this parak is going to be our go-to parak for many times to give us a sense of the movement of the stage of the game. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.